One tail or two?
Alrighty. Welcome everyone for episode 15.
I'm eating chips.
Because apparently we have to be on point with our counting.
I know, right? Because, you know, someone's out there totally keeping track and pointing at me whenever I get shit wrong. I guess we're that, you know, popular now. They only look at your mistakes and not the hard work that you do.
No, well, they appreciate it and they just want us to be better.
Yes, it is. Welcome to episode 15, Week of the Myth.
I'm eating chips.
Yes, and you don't have to eat them into the mic.
I know. That's why I'm leaning this way.
Thank you for the consideration.
I'm numbing on ice cream.
Which is really good ice cream, actually.
Organic ice cream.
Well, now that you know what we're
tell them, Sam. What's your love and hate relationship with organic items?
That Go. People can overprice shit by labeling it organic, yet you don't know that it's organic?
Continue. For a fact. Don't know for a fact.
Keep going until I finish this.
You want me to go on a tangent? Okay, fine. If it's labeled organic from someone who's come from the agriculture family and who's been around that shit, 99% of the chance, it's not organic. You want to know why? Because they still put chemicals on it. Because legally, by law, they can still put a certain amount of chemicals on it, and it's still considered organic. So if you think organic means there's zero chemicals on it, you have another thing coming. Unless it came from your backyard and you put zero chemicals in it, it has chemicals.
That's what I feel like. Organic isn't...
It also depends on the soil, too, because some soil has chemical in it,
too. Yes, it does. Sometimes, and if you...
Like Miracle-Gro.
If you really want to get into it, like, oh, a lot of soil that is used is steer manure. Okay, let's go back to the steer,
where the steer
that
actually
pooped
got
that
it.
Shit mm-hmm. out. Was that cow organically fed? Or was it something else that had artificial, you know, stuff in it.
Grass-fed isn't good enough
grass
description
fed
because even
right. If you use steer manure, you need to go back to find out, was that steer organically fed? Was that steer not given any antibiotics? Because the moment it did, that steer manure is filled with shit that is bad. Therefore, your manure or the shit, the fertilizer that's on there, is not organic. There you go, people. Your organic shit is just so you can pay for more. That's it. That's all it is.
Tell them about the scientific studies where it proves nothing, or that it organic doesn't really benefit you.
It doesn't. Well, it doesn't.
You think it was more kind of like a placebo effect that people were just like,
it is.
If we stick this sticker on it, that has chemicals, by the way.
Yes, it does.
The adhesive.
Yeah.
Which it does.
Which makes me laugh when I worked for a certain, we'll say, healthier.
You mean Whole Check?
Whole Check, yeah.
Most people know that reference. You know, you used to work at a place called Whole Check.
Yeah.
I know. I used to go and buy groceries for someone whose name will not be mentioned. And I would be like, look, she's like, I want avocados. We go over there. I'm like, look, you can buy five for a dollar.
You just reminded me of Voldemort.
And then she's like, but this is the organic. And it's $2 for one. I'm like, bro, I'll just go to Gilroy over there.
The
flea market. You can go and get like five freaking big ass avocados for a dollar. And I'm just like, you guys don't realize how much they're scheming you of your money. Again, for someone who comes from that background, who's been around that her whole life, I know
for
a
fact. Soon avocados are going to skyrocket, dude.
I've been around that my whole entire life.
Let's not get into that debate right now. Oh my god. Myth week. I'm working 9 to 5. Trying to make Sam.
Stop raging.
Do you rage? I put her on the rage troll
Sam.
Coaster.
Goosefraba.
Man.
Say it with us.
You really got me into it, okay?
It was just to kill time to finish my ice cream sandwich.
Man.
So, Sam.
Don't fall for it, people.
You guys ever want to get Sam kind of rar? Just ask her how organic her food is. So I can see, imagine so many people just walking up to your work and be like, "Sam, it's organic."
Or you could do your best to convince her that kale is actually good.
Apparently, they're putting way more pesticides in kale.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. So it's actually a lot worse for you.
There you go for your kale superfood freaks
again. Someone growing up in that life.
Agricultural.
In agriculture.
World.
You're being lied to. Don't fucking believe them.
Wait, the government's lying to us?
Oh, the government lies? What? What is this?
Where's my red hat? That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my God.
Get out of here, Cheeto fingers.
Okay,
Cheeto
ready for it? Wait for it. The government never lies. Everything organic is good for you and completely, like, just go by it, you know, because it's just everyone when they
We're
say
totally
something.
Editing all of this.
Oh,
right?
Oh, and the earth is flat, too, people. Don't forget that either.
Totally.
I have a friend that she actually believes this and posts on Instagram, and I'm just to the point where I'm just like,
she's a hardcore flat earth
unfriend.
Believer.
Unfriend.
Yep.
Flat Earth Society. I read this comic the other day where, like, this apartment complex. Apartment complex was on fire, and these firemen went to the first door, and on the doorknob, it had a little sign that said, part of the Flat Earth Society, and the firemen, like, stopped the other one from bringing the door down. And they both walked away from the door.
That's so fucked up. I just imagine, you remember the meme with the dog and everything's on fire and he's like, everything's fine. Yeah. The earth is flat. Yeah. She so put bad. It to that dog.
It's so bad. Yep. You know, let's not. Yeah.
I think for Halloween for work, I want to get like a dog onesie and just cut out little flames and just says, everything's fine. While
I'm
driving.
You should just walk around with a loading bar above your head.
Aw.
I'm just kidding.
And Sam should people, walk around with like people, it's organic.
People who listen
I'm
to the stream.
Organic.
Yeah.
I'm organic.
Now we just have to find one for Joe.
How about speak up?
No, remember, you're the king.
Oh my gosh.
Alrighty. Okay. Tangent over.
Tangent over.
Definitely that was
well,
a tangent.
When you say that, tangent, people though. Might mistake that for That 70s Show.
Those who have seen
That
70
Show.
But yeah, so it is Week of the Myth, and I'm calm. I calmed down. Because
calm tea.
I was able to have some of Yelly's yummy salsa again, and I filled it with nothing but salt.
You have to say that slower for our audience.
Yep, so I had nothing but salt with that. And I'm also having my sweet tea.
Your errors. We didn't take now that I recall, we didn't take a picture of tea last night.
Yeah, well, that was like not even 24 hours ago, so we can take a picture of that again.
And I could just grab another jasmine green tea from work.
Anyways, yeah, so as y'all know, I am drinking my Arizona sweet tea. It's so yummy. It's so good. With Yelly's salsa on the side. Oh.
How do you brew that, Sam?
How do I brew it? Yeah. Or how is it brewed? It comes from New York. That's how I remember. And it has high fructose corn syrup in it again. So.
One of your 16 servings.
Right? One of my 16 servings. I'm actually halfway done with a gallon right now.
So you had 8? Is that math?
No. I did not drink 8. I had already been
you
drinking.
You said half.
It's down to half 6, right now. 7, doesn't 8. Mean that I had it. And all in one day.
Not to mention that it was already open prior to
Oh, yeah,
to
Joe
night
drank
too.
Some of it yesterday,
exactly.
Too.
A couple sips.
Trying to call me a fatty over here.
I didn't say that. I just said I was doing math via the jug.
You know what's funny? Since yesterday, like, I've been peeking over my little shield here, and I see Yelly, just the top part of her. I keep thinking of the neighbor from
Tim
Home
Allen.
Improvement.
Yeah.
Hey, what you doing over there? He's just so fucking nosy. I would have been like, if I had a goddamn neighbor like that, I'd be like, ¿Qué cabrón está waving on mi chicha? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Damn, she's
totally Mexican way. I would have just like looked at him, did I, and pulled the curtain down. I'm like,
hey, me have another metiche?
Yeah.
Tu cabrón, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. All right, Yelly. What are you drinking that's hopefully calming you?
It's very, actually really nice. It's the Celestial Seasoning Herbal Tea. Does my breath smell or something? Try to say something?
She's
oh, you're
chewing.
Crunching. Well, it didn't help that I started talking and all I see from the corner of my eye is like. I was like, do I need a breath mint that bad? Like,
no, it's mostly water now.
I'm sorry. Just chug it. It's like make a mixture in your mouth.
I kind of want to drink it.
It's refreshing too at the same time, which I like.
So what are you drinking, Yelly?
I'm drinking a Celestial Seasonings Herbal Tea, a caffeine-free chamomile tea. I always like the artwork on these boxes.
Like celestial ones, yeah.
And the ingredients. Chamomile.
Is it?
Yep.
What's the bag made out of? Sometimes they mention that.
I'll read it. I like it. I just want to take a picture. Ingredients, chamomile.
Yeah, ingredients, chamomile, made.
Let me read my damn box.
Read your box, because I can't really see it. I'm getting old. I need to go.
Made exclusively by Celestial Seasoning, Inc. I never realized this, but their address is actually 4600 Sleepy Time Drive.
Aww.
Yeah. In, I think, Colorado, right? Is CO?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. In Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder, Colorado?
Yeah. It's caffeine-free.
Did you just drink something sour?
Gluten-free.
No. Did you bite your
probably
tongue?
All the salt at the bottom.
Oh.
It's like a tequila shot.
If you ever want her to be happy, just give her a thing of lemon and salt and she'll eat that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Chevy Susan's just going to send you a whole bunch of salt stuff when she finds out.
Do it.
She's like, here's a gallon of kosher salt.
Yes.
Get finish... her the pink Himalayan one.
Oh, geez. The pink Himalayan. That's really salty.
Damn.
I like salt.
What's the finishing salt that you guys have?
Yeah.
That's really salty.
That's good. I like it. It actually, is good. Actually gave me that.
What are you drinking, Joe? Good.
Yeah, that's all I have on my tea, unless so, you want the heat, the actual steeping instructions.
I usually give the steeping instructions. So
okay.
Go for it.
For your lovely chamomile tea, it says, hot tea by the cup. Pour boiled water over one tea bag. Steep for 4 to 6 minutes and remove tea bag. Sweetened if desired. I sweeten mine with a little bit of honey.
Is it tea bag?
It says tea bag.
One tea bag or two?
It says tea bag. Just one. Teabag to your face, Joe.
I'm being
Joe.
Stupid. That's what you used
yeah,
to.
Yeah, he actually teabagged himself yesterday.
Yeah, he like sucked it like from the tit. Like,
oh my god, it was so delicious too. I won't lie.
I saw it from the corner because it's like I
it's
saw it over
jasmine
a neighborhood
tea.
Face.
How do you not enjoy that?
Yeah,
but
pretty damn easily.
Oh, geez, you and your anti-caffeine.
I'm not anti-caffeine.
I know you're not
a person who drinks Dr. Pepper all the time
and Coke.
I like this little quote on the box too. It says, every time I see an adult on a bicycle, I no longer despair for the future of the human race. By H.G. Wells.
He wrote a lot of books.
So, Joe, what are you drinking?
So, that Tea's Tea Organic that Yelly had yesterday, I have actually hijacked one of those from work today, and it is the Elegant Jasmine Green Tea, brewed with premium whole green tea leaves. And that's what I'm drinking today.
Does it have a different haiku from the one we said yesterday?
No, it's the same one.
Same one? Oh,
the same
for a
awkward
one.
I
feel like my lips are...
You can still
it's okay.
See, like...
It's okay, Sam. You've only eaten only 80% less than a... What was it from Futurama? You only put 80% worth of a lethal dose in there of salt.
Hey, don't
shouldn't
I like
have
myself.
Had seconds.
What is the lethal dose for
I don't know.
Intake?
It's just a quote from Futurama.
I'm surprised I haven't passed that.
From Futurama.
Oh. Well, now that we know what we're drinking and kind of sort of eating, what do you guys got for us today? Because guess what? I'm doing nothing today.
I know. It must seem
you're,
nice.
It's not that you're not doing nothing. You're listening to us today.
Yes, I'm listening
you
to
you. You are the point giver today.
I am the point giver. I am the comments. Listener. I am the one with the crown. I am the...
You should see her with a crown.
Not very nice.
That's part of a song, actually.
But, yeah, I am the just watching, spectating. And we have stories from both Josep and Yuri.
Yes, ma'am.
We should start flipping coins to see who goes first.
I want Joe to go first.
God damn it.
So, Joe, what do you have for us today?
What don't I have for you today? Let's see. So... Today, I have for everybody another canine creature called the El Cadejo.
With your Spanish accent, please.
El Cadejo.
With your Spanish accent, please.
Cadejo. God damn it, I don't have a fucking Spanish accent. I am horrible when it comes to accents in general. I can't even do a legit
So, Yelly, how about you tell us in your Spanish accent?
Let me see. I don't think he's saying it right. It doesn't... Cadejo?
Yeah.
I've never...
What is the translation to that?
I don't know.
There's
Cadejo.
A rough translation to it that I have.
I don't
want to
keep reading.
But I'll get to that. Anyway...
Unless you want to have Google read it out for us?
They'll probably pronounce it El Cadejo.
I can make it do Spanish.
I know you can do it in Spanish.
I know you could do it in Spanish, but if you do just the basic, it'll probably be El Cadejo.
The Joe in it.
The Cadejo. I'm kind of curious.
Can you spell it for me?
C-A-D-E-J-O.
Thought it was Gaelic. Spanish. Give me Spanish.
Espanol.
El Cadejo.
El Cadejo.
El
Cadejo. Oh my god, they said it for
you have
El Cadejo.
No es pendeja.
Right? No es pendejo. No aquí or no no.
No soy pendejo.
No soy pendeja.
Yeah.
Aquí no no. Allá sí sí.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Courtesy's a fluffy.
Yeah, on that one. We love you, Fluffy.
El Cadejo.
Cadejo.
El Cadejo.
Is that
Italian?
I was about to say, is that Italian?
Sí. Oh, my stomach's all that salt.
All the salt and the fact that you're also drinking while you're eating.
And you had all your ice cream already, huh?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and the dairy.
Okay, let's go on.
Okay. Anyway, El Cadejo originates.
No, Joe. El Cadejo.
It originates mostly from El Salvador, but can also be found in Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala, Central America,
hey Joe.
Mexico,
just keep rolling, Joe. Don't let her stop
and
you.
Part of South America.
Hey, Joe. Can you say that again? Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
Hey, Sam, how about you sit up so we don't have more people complaining about...
I'm talking into my
They're
mic.
They're going to hear all that tapping on your chest because you were resting it on your boobs. Straight up.
Anyway, it is described to have bright glowing. Actually, there are two versions of them, but both of them are described to having bright eyes, and depending on which one you meet will have a different type of glowing eye. So they are described to having bright glowing red eyes, and in some beliefs there are two different types, like I just mentioned. I should just read off the notes. The black Cadejo, which has bright red glowing eyes, or eyes that burn kind of like coal, while the white Cadejo, on the other hand, has bright blue eyes, or depending on the lore or the region that you're from, it will also have bright red eyes. And with the white Cadejo also, its fur is more of a fluffy, downy-like fur.
Downy?
Downy, like fluffy, like the... You know, the fabric softener downy.
I don't know what fabric downy softener feels like.
I've never used downy.
You've never used downy?
I might have, but I don't remember how soft it was. Can you please elaborate?
Didn't you ever see the commercials with Fluffy, like the stupid bear?
Why is it gotta be stupid?
Why is he stupid?
Because it's stupid.
It's not stupid. He's fluffy.
He is fluffy.
You're stupid.
God damn it. Anyway, together they represent evil and good, respectively, depending upon their color. However, in some regions that you're at, the color could represent the opposite of what they do. So the white Cadejo will be bad, while the black Cadejo would be evil. Will be good. So some are actually...
What is that face? Oh, wait, never mind.
Anyway, some are reported to have a thick chain hanging around from its neck, which drags on the floor as it walks. And that is actually part of where the Cadejo actually comes from. I read in one article, I'm not too sure how accurate it is, but they mentioned that Cadejo may be a form...
I'm sorry, Joe.
Are you guys like making fun of the way I'm like pronouncing?
We're counting how many ums and ams.
Is that why it's so quiet? Jeez, it sounds so boring. We were
just
counting now.
No, it wasn't boring. I wanted to test and see how, because Sam's always telling me how many ums and ads you do that she has to edit. I was like, you know what? Just for the first bit, I'm gonna start counting, and I already.
I'm honestly trying not to say um.
He's improved since the beginning, but yeah.
It's also whenever I'm looking at Sam and I'm looking at you, and the both of you are like, not saying anything and exchanging looks. He's and like, I see why? Sam. I can see Sam's expression, and every time I look back at her, her smile is just like.
Because she was giving me away too. She was like, what's up with your face? I was like, we were both doing it. Don't even.
Yeah, but like I said, I can't really. I can only see her eyes from up here. But
like, still. I'm like, even lower. I was like.
Anyway, some are reported to have a thick chain hanging around from its neck, which drags on the floor as it walks.
Take a picture.
And that's kind of where part of the lore comes from as far as the name goes, because Cadejo could represent the chain that is wrapped around its neck.
So it's like straight balling?
So people know what we're talking about the fence thing. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a G because it's wearing a straight G because he has this big old chain just like
rocking. Well, there's also some lore behind that too as well. So I'll get to that a little bit later. So some reports of sightings of the Cadejo is reported to have hooves of either a deer or a boar.
Yeah.
And
do you have a picture of it?
I do not actually.
Mentally paint a picture for me, Joe.
Okay, so I'm actually gonna get a little bit more into the description a little bit later. Okay. So, but I'll get into it.
So tell me to fucking wait. Got it. Okay.
Anyway, both can be encountered during the evening to people who are traveling at night, and these cryptids are somewhat. How do you say they're kind of like it's another one of those things specific like mostly in El Salvador and stuff like that where they're like don't go out at night otherwise the El Cadejo will get you and
so it's like a wolfy kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a wolf dog kind of thing.
Did it kind of appear too when you were talking about the black wolf black dog? So it's similar to like.
It's similar to like the what Sam covered a couple weeks ago with the black dog, but this is kind of like the Hispanic version of it. I didn't realize that until Sam was giving her presentation. I was just like, "Damn, we're gonna
cover it." I've never heard of it.
Yeah, well, interesting enough. Yeah.
Did you ever hear about it?
Before? I've never heard about it. While I was looking for topics, I stumbled across it. I was like, "Sure, I'll go ahead and do that." And then, so depending on location, their colors could represent the opposite nature of the Cadejo, which was what I mentioned earlier, where the white one would be the bad one, and the black one would be good. In some accounts, they can be seen as big as a cow or even have a bull-like appearance. So they're pretty muscular. Mm. So that's pretty much most of where the visual will come from.
Mm-hmm.
It is also said that if you turn your back to the creature, you will go insane.
Ooh.
So if you encounter it while you're walking home, it's also said that it'll appear in front of people who are trying to get home, like walk home while they're intoxicated.
Uh-huh.
Because the wolf or the Cadejo will actually see it as easy pickings pretty much.
Oh, like the weakest deer in the bunch.
Yeah. And they're actually first believed to be spirits who guided recently deceased to the afterlife. However, over time and with the introduction to Christianity, the Cadejo represented good and evil. So, a little sugar cube. It's kind of like not too big or important, but in San Salvador. In the Zona Rosa section of El Salvador, there is a brewing company called Cadejo, and it's possibly the first brewery in the world to name itself after a cryptid. Oh, you're looking at it right now.
Yeah. I was just looking at that.
Nice. And I kind of want to try their beers because they look pretty good.
The Cadejo beer?
Yeah. What does the logo look like?
Like literally a pit bull, pretty much.
Hmm. What kind of flavors they got?
Probably all kinds of good stuff.
It's beer. You guys like that shit.
I do love beer.
Like, what's this? Cerveza. Oktoberfest.
Ooh.
Wonder what kind of beer it is.
Oktoberfest, I think that's usually a specific type, and I'm not 100% sure what it is. It's usually like some type of amber ale or something stronger.
That's pretty good. I wonder if, like, Bevmo or whatever carries it.
Probably.
Maybe. Okay, so. Altogether, there are said to be 3 different types of Black Adejo. So while I was doing my research, a lot of the articles had mentioned 3 different types. The first one appears to those who are immoral or have a heavy conscience, in which the Gadejo will then hypnotize the person who they are stalking to steal their soul or just to continue stalking in order to terrorize them with visions of hell or scenes of death and destruction.
So kind
of
like hailhounds?
Yeah, pretty much. And there's actually a reason why behind this, too, is because this version is usually represented... this version usually represents a bad omen or may even predict misfortune for an individual. And some believe that this version of the Black Cadejo is actually the devil himself.
Ooh.
Oh, and yeah.
May also smell of sulfur when you encounter him. In El Salvador, they refer to people who have encountered him and have survived as have been played by an evil spirit.
Oh.
Like quoted, played by an evil spirit. And it can be repelled by burning incense, commonly known in El Salvador as Sahun Mario, something like that or other.
I'm not Salvadorian.
which probably is some type of like sage or like bundle of sage and other types of incense. Another way to actually repel it is by showing it a holy relic or religious objects.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the second type of Black Adejo takes on more of a wild dog or wolf form, which manifests itself to physically kill the person it is stalking. It will generally appear in the corner of your eye and stay to the shadows and will make growling noises to frighten you and to pretty much make you start to panic because it won't physically show itself until you're like 100% scared and like about to shit yourself.
So you have to be scared in order to see it.
Yeah. Well, not so much you have to be scared in order to see it, but it won't mm-hmm. attack you until
Reminds
you're...
Reminds me of it.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to give it strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes growling noises to frighten you. And it will then go into a...
I'm sorry, but if I hear a growling noise, I'm going to think it's automatically a dog, and I'm going to want to give it attention. So I don't know if that would probably backward fire against me.
Maybe.
Man.
Okay, so it will then go into an attack if it senses you are too scared to fight back. Unlike the first Black Cadejo, holy objects and incense won't repel it and cannot be killed by people. And the only way to escape this version of the Black Cadejo is if the white one intervenes to protect you.
No.
Yeah. And there's a little bit more backstory to that, too.
I just totally thought bad, but yeah, let's keep going.
Okay. The third version of the Black Cadejo is actually believed to be a hybrid of the second version and an actual dog itself, and is much less threatening than the other two. This version of the Black Cadejo could actually be killed, but it's going to take some difficulty. Okay, so in one article I actually read about this version of the Cadejo is that it doesn't attack you by biting or like pouncing at you. It excessively licks and pokes you with its nose to drive you insane.
Aww, that could never drive me insane.
But yeah, like
it pokes you
mm-hmm.
in your sleep. It's like Death by Spoons. Was it you that showed me Death by Spoons?
I don't think so. I remember seeing it, but I don't think I was the one who showed you that. But if it is killed, it will rot in the spot in which it died with rapid at the spot in which it died and will rapidly decompose in a matter of minutes, leaving behind a tainted spot where no plant will grow behind it. So
maybe
grass.
That's why all those grass that's empty and missing, Cadejo lost its spirit there. Lost its wings.
Where the ground is sour.
Yeah.
And there's actually a way you can test whether or not this Cadejo means you any harm. And this is simply by spitting in the palm of your hand and then offering it to the Cadejo.
Gross.
And if it licks your palm, it symbolizes that it's not there to harm you, but it's just kind of like passing by and you don't need to fear it. If you encounter the Black Cadejo and it attacks you but doesn't kill you, or if you survive, there is a saying that the locals have called El Cadejo Lo Jugo, or Lo Jugo El Cadejo, which roughly translates or means he or she was handled by the Cadejo. This is often applied to people who are born with mental illnesses.
Aww.
So if people have mental disabilities, they'll say, oh, that it was because they had a run in with the Black Cadejo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or at least kinda that's
kind of like when we were talking about SIDS with kids,
mm-hmm.
and the whole hellhound thing. Like they would drive mm-hmm. by and they would use the baby cried and they heard and they came after it type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's pretty much the first three. Now, the White Cadejo, on the other hand, helps, obviously, to protect the good and innocent and helps guide people out of trouble. It is also said that God himself had actually created the White Cadejo for the sole purpose of protecting people who remain faithful to him. And that's kind of why the Black Cadejo actually exists, because when Satan actually saw that, he became jealous of the people being protected, and he ended up creating the Black Cadejo, which is why a lot of the visions or depictions of him either have a chain around its neck or has some type of metal binding around its paws.
So it still has control,
yeah. But like mentioned earlier, the first version of the Black Cadejo is said to be the devil himself. Yeah. In disguise.
Yeah, shapeshifter mm-hmm. devil.
Yeah. Okay, so according to some, it doesn't eat meat, and instead it's a vegetarian.
Aww.
And yeah, it instead eats small
The white one?
It instead eats small bell-like flowers that grow in the mountains of South Mexico.
How majestic.
Southern Mexico and Central America. Yeah.
Are his eyes also gold?
His eyes, depending on the region you come from, it'll either be blue or white and they will glow. Blue or red and they will glow. So, some of the legends about the Cadejo. In one of the legends, there are two men who become cursed by a sorcerer. So there are two men wandering through a forest or a set of woods. Are you guys counting my ums again?
I ain't doing shit. I'm playing with my ear. And then I turned to Sam, and she was doing something. And then she was like, looking at me. So I was looking at her, and I'm just like, my ear hurts.
Well, stop playing with your ear.
I can't. It's like itchy.
Anyway, these two men are wandering through the woods, and they stumble across this hut, which is owned by a sorcerer.
Woods, forest. Mountains.
Mountains. It could have been any of that.
Did they break their backs?
Not really. I think Yelly's a little loopy.
I'm so tired, guys. And I'm looking down at my pages and how many I have, and I'm just like, I'm going to have to, like, swing it.
You're going to follow me where I'm just like, let's get this shit done.
A child.
Anyway, I'll try to move this along. Because, let's see.
Move it along, Jeff.
Your dictator has spoken.
So, when they encountered the sorcerer at the house, the sorcerer, what ends up happening is that the sorcerer sees them and asks them to do a favor for him. And the sorcerer asks these two men to gather firewood for him. They agree to do it since it's an easy chore, and the sorcerer goes off and wanders in its own thing.
Is this Brokeback Mountain?
No, it's not Brokeback Mountain.
Are you sure?
So the sorcerer goes off to do his own thing.
Is it a male sorcerer?
Just one spit.
It is a male sorcerer. But what ends up happening...
Brokeback sorcerer?
Is that instead of grabbing firewood...
There's a story to write, Sam. Your fanfic paragraph for the podcast.
Instead of grabbing firewood, they...
What else did he grab?
What kind of wood did they grab instead of firewood?
Instead of firewood, what did they grab?
They didn't grab any wood. they grabbed the sorcerer's food and ate all his motherfucker's food.
Oh.
And when the sorcerer came back and saw
was it
that
a cream pie.
Oh, you have no idea.
Oh my god.
Anyway, they ate all the sorcerer's food.
They ate all of him.
They ate all of the sorcerer's food. They ate all of the sorcerer's food.
What kind of food did he have? Okay, it's getting to that point of night. Okay, I'll stop. Serious face mode, activate. Sorry, Joe.
Anyway, so what ends up happening is that when the sorcerer returns, he sees that he has no firewood and all his food is gone. So he ends up placing a curse on the two men. But how does he know
who it was if they didn't see him?
He saw them as they left.
Oh.
They pretty much saw him coming and they said goodbye and left. And so what ends up happening is the sorcerer curses them, and on their way home, they slowly start transforming into dogs. And when they get back to their village, they're shunned because they're big, mean-looking dogs, and nobody wants them around. So they eventually get shooed. And
I do.
Sam would take them in.
I would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really would.
Probably.
I see it. Look at the poor little doggies. Let them come to my place. I want to love them. I want to hold them.
They were shunned and eventually kicked out of their village.
Assholes.
Yeah. And that's another lore of how these black Cadejos pretty much exist, or how they started existing. Another legend is of a teenage boy who was stalked by a black Cadejo, and he was plagued with visions of destruction and hell. And when he made it back home, by the time he got back home, he saw the visions as a bad omen to stop. It basically a warning that if he were to continue drinking and not listening to his parents or anything, that shit was going to start happening to him. So that kind of goes along with don't be a dumbass and be a good person. Otherwise, the Black Cadejo is going to come and get you.
Hmm.
Okay, let's see. There was also... there's another legend that I actually saw. There's a video about it on YouTube that I was watching this lady give on the Black Cadejo and how it was created also. So there was a man who actually wrongfully claimed property of an old couple who had passed away. So this old couple had this really nice house in the middle of this village. So like everybody loved it. Everybody wanted it. And the couple kept their house pretty well kept. And there wasn't a weed in the grass. There wasn't a shingle missing off the roof or whatever.
Shingle.
Yeah. So when they passed away, they left the house to the city to do what they needed. But instead, the guy ended up saying before they passed away, the guy was doing all kinds of chores and all kinds of favors for him. And when they left the will, he claimed that they left the house for him and his family. So he moved his family in there. And the first couple of days, he would wake up to the sound of people cleaning, like vigorously cleaning the house. Uh-huh. And he would go out and he would check to see what's going on, and he wouldn't see anything there. And when he would try to go back to sleep, he couldn't fall back asleep because the moment he lay back down in bed, he'd start hearing the house being cleaned again. And when he wake up in the morning, his wife would be like, "Why were you getting up so often in the middle of the night?" And he'd be like, "Didn't you hear all that noise, all that cleaning and stuff?" She's like, "I didn't hear anything." And he's like, "How could you not? Because like there are dishes clanging around in the kitchen, and there are all kinds of like sweeping noises. Mm-hmm. The furniture was being moved so loudly. How can you not wake up?" So after several weeks of this happening, he finally finds a dog to guard the house while he was away and while he was sleeping. And there were several nights where he would wake up to the dog barking at something. And so he would wake up, he would hear the noises, and he would go to the dog, and he'd see the dog barking in a corner, like facing the corner, barking in the corner. And one night, he kind of like in a blind rage, he got up and beat the dog so it would stop barking. and went back to sleep. And in the morning, he had no recollection of doing any of that to the dog, and he saw the dog, and it was beaten within an inch to its life. So he bent down.
Did he die?
He's going to get what's coming to him.
He better.
So basically, he bends down to like comfort the dog, because he's like, I can't believe I did this. And he like picks the dog up. And as he's picking the dog up, the dog speaks to him and says, I'll show you what I saw last night. And he immediately like falls asleep. He collapses where the dog was. And he wakes up in the evening time. And he tries to stand up, but he's actually turned into a dog.
Yay!
While he's sleeping. And he's actually walking. He gets up. He's walking around. And he sees the old couple's spirit. He sees them walk into the house. And they start, oh, cleaning. Everything's dirty in here. So they start vigorously cleaning everything.
So they were OCD ghosts. Yeah,
pretty much. So they end up leaving. And as he's leaving, he's following them. They're like, oh, that house looks dirty too. So let's go in there and let's clean it. And so at that point, he wakes up. And instead, when he wakes up, he tries to stand up on his hind leg, on his back legs. But he wakes up as the dog. So, so like during the time he was sleeping, he transformed into the dog, and he woke up to the dead dog next to him. And there's
Wait,
actually
the dog's dead now.
The dog, yeah,
he
the
gave
dog
it spirit, so he could see.
So
he's like, "Fuck you, my vengeful now dog he's, spirit, you hit me."
Now he's cursed to be a dog also, and so. It's actually told that if you see a dog with man-like eyes or the eyes of a man, it's supposed to be that guy, and he's trying to warn you of ghosts or spirits that are trying to do bad things to you. Okay, so that is one. Another one, depending on the region you're from, however, there's just one Black Cadejo. Based more on the region you're from, the Black Cadejo could signify a number of things. The first is the bad, and it can represent a bad omen. However, if the Cadejo walks beside you, and if it means... Sorry, I kind of typed that wrong. If the Cadejo walks beside you, it means that whatever comes your way, you will prevail and become stronger from the experience. The second and the worst outcome is if the Cadejo comes across your path, and that can represent a bad omen as well. However, no matter what you do or someone, no matter what you do, you or someone who is close to you may not survive the misfortune that comes you or that to their way. So it's kind of like either way, it's a bad omen, but from one, it will help.
One's worse than
yeah,
the other.
Yeah, one's worse than the other. So an example of the good one is in one legend, a huge black wolf sits at the base of the woods in a village, waiting for a man to go home for the night. When the man goes into the woods, the wolf sees and follows him by his side all the way to his house. Though nervous, the man does nothing to harm the Cadejo. After several nights of this happening, the man finally turns from his door and asks the Cadejo, "What do you want? Why do you insist on following me all the way to my home from night to night? And the dog actually replies to him and says, "To guide you safely from your family, and from your family to guide you safely to your family.
Okay.
And your bravery to turn and speak to me shows that you no longer need my help." And after this exchange, he never sees the Cadejo again. So basically, he was pretty much watching over the man as he walked home, and he sensed that since he like was able to turn to him and actually speak to him directly, he's like,
"You're
okay.
Brave now."
Yeah, he's like, "I see that you don't need my assistance anymore." So, yeah.
Don't leave me, doggy.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much the Cadejo, black, white, whichever you choose.
Interesting.
Depending on the region. It's all dependent on the region.
Can I get one?
Different...
You didn't say no.
Well, we have four dogs at home. Four lovely canines.
Well, now that Joe's done yelling.
Four?
Four?
Yeah, four dogs.
Babes?
I forgot babes. Huh. My bad. Because I was imagining the kennel, and then, like, everyone you put in the kennel, and Babes is just, like, you know, free to roam.
Babes is the only one that doesn't stray farther than, than the... She doesn't even go to the creek.
I totally forgot about Babes. I'm sorry. Babes she's the sweetest.
She'll go like...
For some reason, I was just picturing the kennel, though, and then I pictured everybody in the kennel. And I was like, one, two, three, and then I was just like, where's the four?
Five cats, four dogs, two snakes, one horse. That's why I need more space. So what you got for us today, Yelly?
Today I will be covering the kitsune. The kitsune is the Japanese word for fox, for everybody that did not know. And the story of kitsunes. And the fox... Have you heard of the Fox Island, by the way, in Japan?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
I want to go. I see a lot of them going like...
I want to go...
I just want to die there with them all. That's how foxes laugh. Have you seen the white one? They're like, ha, 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 ha. That's what it sounds like. Play it.
Oh,
no?
I know.
No?
I've only watched Juniper.
It's Juniper. Yeah. Okay, anyways, I just wanted to add that little smiley tidbit.
There's also a deer island that I want to go to.
I want to go there too.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to go to the deer one. I kind of just wanted the rabbit and the foxes. Okay, anyways, continue on. Foxes are commonly the subject of Japanese folklore, just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
Kitsune is referred to them in this context. Stories depicted as them as intelligent beings and the possessing of paranormal abilities that increase with their age and wisdom. According to the yokai folklore, all foxes have the ability to shapeshift into human form. I believe raccoons, too, in Japanese folklore, also
tanukis.
Tanukis, there you go. Have the ability to shapeshift as well.
Shapeshifter!
Especially into human forms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
While some folktales speak of a kitsune employing this ability to trick others, as foxes and folklores often do, other stories portray them as faithful guardians, friends, lovers, and wives.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have a little story afterwards.
Little waifu?
Yeah. That
waifu?
Foxy waifus, yeah. Later on that I'll tell you guys. Foxes and humans lived closely together in ancient Japan. This companionship gave rise to legends about the creatures. Kitsunes have become closely associated with the Inari, a Shinto kami, which is a god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cha.
And serves as its messengers. The role is reinforced that the fox's supernatural and significance. Sorry, my English is slurring because it's so late. I'm just like trying my hardest. So pretty much the kitsunes can have up to 9 tails.
Yeah.
And they gain and grow a tail every 100 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So depending on how many really tails they have is how long they've been alive
and their power.
That's pretty cool.
And they say
kinda reminds you of a certain Pokemon, yeah.
So the older and the wiser the kitsune, they say eventually is the more influential and powerful it is. And some people also made like sacrifices of them too as like deities. As well, the older the kitsune is.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like a human sacrifice? Or is it just like...
It just says sacrifices. Whatever floats your boat to sacrifice to your deity, Joe.
I don't know. That's half of his people right there. What is it, Joe?
And then there's controversy to the foxes as well as... being seen as witch animals or like, you know, servants of witches. So
kind of like
as
a familiar.
Well, yeah, like a familiar. Especially during the superstitious Edo period, which is from the 1603 to 1867.
Was that?
They were more seen as like tricksters and instead of like.
Was that Nobunaga's era or was that after?
I
can't remember. I know it was like feudal Japan that he was like. Yeah.
I think it was. I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll have to check later. It's too late for me.
After.
Are you sure? You want to Google it first while I continue? Maybe. Sorry to. She's like. basically, that they were seen as they can't be trusted as familiars because of that superstitious era.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were mostly seen as tricksters, like paranormal possessions and all that jazz.
1582.
That's cool.
1582. So it was before. So we were all wrong. Thank you, Google.
He died in 1582.
So yeah, so this was after his era. So you're right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Joe was right.
Mic drop. These things are too expensive.
Anyways, Japanese fox myths had their origins in Chinese mythology. Just so you know, Chinese folk tales tell of the fox spirit called... I am sorry for butchering this, but it's really hard. And it's Hu Li Jing. That's my attempt on it. You want to try it, Joe?
Do you want me to Google that?
If you want.
I think you pronounced it good enough. I think it's Hu Li Jing.
Hu Li Jing.
But it really depends.
Chick has a different.
It depends on the pronunciation because I probably could have.
Where's
just
Chrissy when I need it?
I probably just insulted somebody's mom.
Hu Li Jing.
Can you spell?
H U, with the little ch over the U. L I and then space G I N G.
G I N G.
Or no, J I N G. Sorry. I was looking at the G at the end, and it said G twice, and I realized, I was like, wait a minute.
It's all good.
Buffering! I was totally off.
Hu Ling Jing.
Okay. That may have up to 9 tails. The Kubai no Kitsune in Japanese may have the earliest surviving stories or record in the Kon... Jaku Monogatarushi.
Yep. That sounds like a mouthful.
Yeah, it's big. You want to try it?
Mm. Try it slowly.
Kanjaku Monogatarushi?
Joe?
Togarashi?
The actual half Japanese one of us.
Oh my god. I'm probably going to butcher it worse than... you guys.
We speak English pretty good.
Can you
spell it?
Spell it, Joe.
Oh, there it is. I was like looking up higher. K O N J A K U N. Sorry, M O N O G A T A. R-I-S-H-U?
What?
R-I-S-H-U.
Jadisu. Yeah. What the lady said. What the Google lady said.
What she
An
11th said.
Century collection of Chinese, Indian, and Japanese narratives. The nine-tailed fox came to be and adapted as a motif from Chinese mythology and Japanese mythology. And then there's this little... It says this, Sam Myers, 1999 notes that the idea of the fox as seductresses and the connection of the fox myths to Buddhism were introduced into Japanese folklore throughout similar Chinese stories, but there maintains that some fox stories contain elements unique to Japan. One said story is Ono, an inhabitant of Mino, says that the ancient Chinese Japanese legend of AD 545 spent the seasons longing for his ideal version of female beauty.
Manga about that.
He met her one evening on a vast moor and then married her. Simultaneously with the birth of their son, Ono's dog was delivered as a pup.
Was its name Naruto?
No. Oh, no. As it grew up, became more and more hostile to the lady. So basically, the folklore is that she was a kitsune, they birthed a child, and the child was Ono, which was, came out as a pup.
Oh, no.
I see what you did there. And the son ended up being very aggressive. And she was like, she mourns because she refused to accept it as their son. And she's like, kill it. It's too aggressive. It's too wild. Let me just finish reading it. And then you. Ono was delivered as a pup, which grew to become more and more hostile to the Lady of the Moors. She begged her husband to kill it, but he refused. At last one day, the dog attacked her so ferociously that he... furiously. Why did I say ferociously?
Ferociously?
Ferociously, Joe.
Ferociously?
Furiously.
Furiously.
That she lost courage, resumed as a vulpine shape, and leapt over the fence and fled. And he said, "You may be a fox, Ono, called after her, but... Ono called after her, but you are the mother of my son, and I will always love you." And I always was, "I love you. Come back when you please. You will always be welcome." So every evening she would stole back and sleep in his arms.
Aww. Yeah.
But then it never says what happened to their son.
Maybe he finally killed him?
Yeah.
That's kind of...
Yeah, kinda so it says, because the fox returns to her husband each night as a woman, but leaves each morning as a fox. She is called the kitsune. In classical Japanese, kitsune means come and sleep, and kitsune means come and sleep, where kitsune, it's spelled differently, and it's broken different, which always means always welcome.
Oh.
I'm probably not saying it right, but... Right, Joe?
That's pretty cool, though.
No. Kitsune, and then probably kitsune.
Maybe kitsune, and it's like where they're broken.
Oh, it's the spaces between.
Oh, kitsune, and then kitsune. You have kitsune. Yeah, kitsune, yeah. And kitsune.
Okay. Which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, a small little tidbit of the physical description of the kitsune. Newborn kitsunes could easily blend in with the litter of average foxes.
Oh,
that's cool.
Which I thought was pretty cool. They gain their magical looks along with their magical powers over time. Again, the whole tail each year or 100 years. For example, every 100 years, the kitsune grows a new tail. He has up to 9 tails total in his later years, which is another thing that I thought was kind of interesting. His red fur might begin to turn into gold.
Oh.
And eventually white.
Oh.
So that's why a lot of like mangas and all that stories, they're usually long, silver, white-haired, awesome-looking Maho Sojo.
Shishomaru.
Inuyasha.
Yeah.
I was thinking that, too. That was, like, the first...
My first little anime crushes.
Dude. Don't
Same
even
for
get
Kagome,
me started on that. It's all about Shishomaru. I was just like, show him again.
Actually, it was what's-her-name for me. Not Kagome, but the one that she replaced.
Kikyo?
Kikyo.
Joe had a thing for Kikyo.
Yeah, I have anything for Shishomaru.
Mine was Inuyasha because he was so stubborn.
And then so I kind of like fell off of Kikyo because she was kind of a bitch.
Kind of. She was a mega bitch.
She was.
She was like, I'm just going to take everybody's fucking souls and float around and do my own fucking thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also, when a kitsune reaches his 100th birthday, he can begin shapeshifting. So you can't begin shapeshifting until you're 100.
Damn.
Yeah, but then I'm pretty sure like 900 years. That's okay.
Wait. You said
on his 100th.
On his 100th. So after 900
years.
So
one
tail. Oh, he needs one tail.
Yeah, he needs one tail.
Okay.
Yeah. A trick that makes them describing like identifying them as kitsune very difficult because they could shapeshift. So, I thought that was cool.
Well, yeah, it's like, hey, you've lasted this long. Let's at least give you the ability to start shapeshifting now.
They apparently, in throughout legends, they love taking human forms, especially female kitsunes.
Oh, yeah.
And would become wives to...
Hence the story you just told us.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of Wolf Mother.
Yeah.
Or was it Wolf Mother or was it
Children? Wolf Children.
Wolf Children, yeah.
I like that but one. Daddy was the wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
Technically, he's a wolf too, not a fox.
So sad, so. Yeah. No, but I mean, like, it's almost the same concept. Almost.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Go, Yelly, go.
They tend to go for shapes that command maximum respect, as an elegant young woman or a wise old priest, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Or a sexy Shishomaru.
Yeah, pretty much. If they are in a troublemaking mood, they can also pose as humans they've seen before. A prince who can command an army or an enemy who needs to be humiliated. Luckily, the fox's disguise are rarely perfected. If you catch him off guard, you might catch a glimpse of his bottle brush tail.
What's that?
I don't know what bottle brush means. Like, I guess, like,
The shape of the tail?
The shape of the tail?
Like I guess so, yeah. Bottle brush? Because that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought if they transform, that doesn't that just disappear?
There's certain little...
Like the ears?
Quirks, like, yeah. Oh. Like, they can't perfect... It's almost like a Ditto. Imagine a Ditto where it has that one, like, derp face. The derp yeah. face, yeah. There's something not perfected about it. But depending on how powerful the Kitsune is how strong the shapeshift is.
Oh.
Sorry.
So kind of like... kind of like Shippo, where he has a stupid tail.
Yeah. Where he turns into the balloon.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, Shippo would, is a fox, so you would think of Shippo. Huh. How we go back to our nerdy ways.
we've only been mentioning Shishomaru like 1,001 times. Sexy man.
Oh, so this is like one of the main ways to identify if it's a shapeshifting Kitsune.
How do you identify it?
So, no matter what shape a Kitsune takes, there will always be one giveaway. He must keep his, they call it a Hoshi no Toma, which is a glowing ball or an iridescent gem, which I've also seen a lot drawing in animes and mangas and stuff. Yeah. With him at all times. The ball contains his soul.
Oh.
Yeah. And without it, he will grow powerless and die. Actually, did Shippo have one?
I thought he had like a necklace or something that.
So
had
it was
some,
a gem.
It
was yeah, like
some sort of gem or something.
Yeah, it's a gem.
I can't remember. I would have to look at another like.
We'd piece have of to art watch. We have to watch Inuyasha again.
Yeah.
We're gonna do it. I'll be like, Shippo does have one. Yes. Yeah, he does. Is a necklace. Oh.
It is a necklace.
Kitsunes usually wear their Hoshi no Tomas as amulets, but in fox form, they can carry the magical balls in their mouth or fasten them to their tails.
Interesting.
Which I thought was cool. And then a little. This part's long, but I'm probably just going to like condense it, because in Japanese mythology, there exist two different...
In Japanese?
Did I say... I'm sorry. I'm so tired, guys. I'm really trying. I'm sorry. In Japanese mythology, there exist two different classifications with 13 different species of kitsunes.
Wow.
So yeah, I thought that was cool. They're all very like, so the two main classifications is Senko, which literally means good foxes, and then the other one is Yako, which is the meaning of field foxes, commonly referred to as the like more mischievous ones, the more evil ones. Because sometimes, I thought it was interesting, kitsunes will actually marry and other kitsunes, but it'll happen during a sun shower. A sun shower is basically, it's raining. You never have those days where it's raining, but it's super bright out and you can see the sun? That's a sun shower. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they usually notify those as, like, kitsunes getting married.
Okay.
Well, they cool. actually made a film called Dreams, which is the part I was looking for, that, goes through all that, and the boy like witnesses a kitsune getting married, and they said if you're not invited to the wedding, they could be like very vengeful and like come after you for misfortune, and you can die because you weren't invited. So they're very territorial with
You show up invited,
like,
or if you
he
show up...
they like he saw the wedding but wasn't invited.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Wedding so, crasher.
Right, basically if you wait and crash it. But let me find the name of the many stories tell of fox wives bearing children. Such are the... So this was this picture right here. Bop. It's basically when they... You know how the vampires have the whole... You don't see the reflection and the stuff?
Yeah.
Apparently you can identify another way to Kitsune. Their shadow, when you cast light on them, it'll show their fox form. Like when they pass. Oh. Yeah. So that's why a lot of animes and stuff too, when like... I don't know. I saw it in like a couple like... Maho Sojos, where they like pass the light and they, you know, a little Japanese cornice, it'll be like a fox walking, and yet they turn the corner, it's their human form. And I was like, oh, I thought that was cool. So, other stories tell of kitsune marrying one another. Rain falling from clear sky, a sun shower, is called a kitsune no yomeri, or a kitsune wedding. In reference to folktale describing a wedding ceremony between the creatures being held during such conditions, the event is considered as a good omen, but the kitsune will still wreak revenge on uninvited guests, as depicted in the film of Dreams by Akira Kurosawa in 1990. I actually want to look up the movie and kind of watch it because I think it was kind of cool because parts that I read from it, they... well, actually, I kind of don't want to give a lot away from the movie, but basically the boy falls upon the wedding and then he runs home, but the fox still sees him and they give the mother... what are the swords? The little seppuku swords?
Yeah.
And he's like, have your son, like,
kill himself.
If not, bad things will happen to you guys. And so the boy ends up, like, I don't want to fucking kill myself. So he takes the sword onto a, journey to go find the foxes and apologize and try to ask for their forgiveness. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I want to, if anyone's seen the film, Dreams, let me know. Or I will hunt down and I'll watch it and then let you guys know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm sure you'll be able to find it.
Yeah. So, continue on. A Kitsune may take a human form, an ability learned when reached to a certain age, usually 100 years, although some tales say 50, as a common prerequisite of the transformation, a fox must place reeds, a leaf, or a skull over its head. Common forms assumed by kitsunes include beautiful women, young girls, elderly men, and even young boys. These shapes, like Shippo, these shapes are not limited by the fox's age or gender, and a kitsune can duplicate the appearance of a specific person. Foxes are particularly owned from personating beautiful women. Common beliefs in medieval Japan was that any woman encountered alone, especially at dusk or night, could be a fox. Oh. Kitsune gao, or fox face, refer to human females who have narrow faces and close-set eyes, thin eyebrows, basically geisha.
Looking, yeah.
High cheekbones. Traditionally, the facial structure is considered attractive, and some tales ascribe it to foxes in human forms. Variants of the theme have kitsunes retain other fox-like traits, such as coating a fine hair, a fox-shaped shadow, or reflections that show its true form. Mm-hmm. In other stories, kitsunes have difficult hiding their tails when it's taking human forms. Looking for the tail, perhaps when the fox gets drunk or careless, is a common method of discerning the creature's true form. A particularly devoted individual may even be able to see through the fox's disguise merely by perceiving them. The kitsune can also be exposed while in human form by their fear and hatred of dogs. I'm just kidding. Some become too rattled by their presence, and they revert back to their fox form.
Maybe that's why the mom got so scared in the story that you told before.
Because the pup was so aggressive.
Yeah.
Maybe. One of the folk stories illustrating these imperfections in the kitsune's human shape concerns Kona, a historical person credited with wisdom and magical powers of divination. According to the story, he was staying at home of one of the devotees when... scaled his foot entering the bath because the water had been drawn too hot. Then, in his pain, he ran out of the bathroom naked. When the people of the household saw him, they were astonished to see that Kona was fur-covered much in his body, along with his fox's tail. Then Kona transferred in front of them, becoming an elderly fox and running away.
Aww.
One of the supernatural abilities commonly attributed to kitsune includes possession, generating fire or lightning, willful manifestation in their dreams of others, flight and invincibility.
Invisibility.
I said it right the first time.
That's a little more tidbit for there. This is one of the drawings called the Fox Woman. It's three ladies dancing around in like moonlight, and it shows like the depiction of like everything I was describing of their face and everything. It's kind of dark because I didn't print it out in color, but I thought it was kind of cool.
It's fine. You don't need color.
I need color. You need color to see it, pretty much.
That actually looks really cool. I didn't know that they could go invisible.
Yeah. And then, like, a lot of the, like, powers, like fire and lightning, goes into the whole, like, 13 different types. Mm. A lot of them are actually connections sometimes to elemental power. So, depending on the kitsune.
It's usually fire, though, isn't it?
Fire, wind, lightning.
Oh, so like the main elements. Ones, yeah.
So, another part that I thought was kind of cool was the wives and lovers. Kitsunes are commonly portrayed as lovers, usually in stories involving a young human male and a kitsune who takes the form of a human woman. The kitsune may be a seductress, but these stories are more often romantic in nature. Example, Inuyasha. Yeah. But flip-flopping it, I guess.
Yeah, because Inuyasha was a boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Typically, the young man unknowingly marries the foxes, who provide their prove as devoted wives. The man eventually discovers the fox's true nature, and the fox wife is forced to leave him. In some cases, the husband wakes as from a dream. Like, he'll think that everything was just a dream when she's discovered.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So does she stay with him if she's discovered, or does she like oh shit, I'm discovered, I can't?
I think they try to play it off as a dream.
Basically, they'll wake up from a dream, filthy, disoriented, and far from home. So she'll possess him, take him out.
Oh shit!
Make him think it was a dream, and leave him.
Damn.
And then he must return to the comfort of his abandoned family in Inchim.
Oh.
So could you imagine?
Damn.
It's worse than divorce. Like, yeah. You're right?
It's like a worst case scenario divorce right there. Like, you could die from that. Mm-hmm.
Many stories tell the fox wives bearing children. With such.
Yorona?
The fox wife?
Bearing their children?
Bearing children.
Bearing children. I thought that she said burying their children. No. I'm just like,
like having babies.
Okay, gotcha.
Making babies.
They possess special physical and basically imagine with children, but with foxes.
Yeah,
it's so cute though.
Physical and supernatural qualities that often pass down to their own children. But the astrological magician Abe no Seime was reputed to have inherent such extraordinary powers.
Hmm.
There's a thing called Kitsune Tsuki.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm pronouncing that right. Kitsune Tsuki. I don't know if the T is silent. Suzuki?
Yeah.
Kitsune Suzuki, literally meaning the state of being possessed by a fox. The victim is usually a young woman whom a fox enters beneath her fingernails and through her breasts.
What?
Interesting.
Yeah. In some cases, the victim's facial expressions are said to change in such a way that resembles those of a fox. Japanese tradition holds the fox possessions can be literal victims to temporary gain the abilities to read.
Hmm.
Me. Gaining the power to read. I need to be possessed by a kitsune. Though foxes in folklore can possess the person of their own will, Kitsune Suke is often attributed to
malignant.
I'm so tired, guys. I'm sorry. Malignant.
Yes.
Intent for hetero fox employers. So they describe the conditions as strange is in the madness of those who demon foxes enter. Sometimes they run naked through the streets. Sometimes they lie down in front for off at the mouth and yelp for fox's help. And some part of the body of possessions of moving a lump appears under their skin.
Uh-oh.
Which seems to have life of its own. Pricking it with a needle and it glides instantly into another place. So, like, if you would poke it. Remember the scene in The Mummy where the, like, scabs get on the... Yeah, so imagine that, like, going through your skin.
I give you a point for making me, like, cheddar,
though. Yeah, it's like... Oh, by no grasp can it be lightly compressed by a strong hand that it will not slip from under its fingers. Possessed spoke are also said to speak and write languages in which they were totally ignorant prior to possession. Hmm. They eat only what foxes are believed to eat. Tofu. sorry.
Tofu?
Yeah. They actually had... Oh, I think I skipped that part. There's the Inari goddess or the deity that they would serve. There's actually a tofu that's like kind of... It's like fried that they put out to shrines to like... offer to the fox spirit so they wouldn't do this, like possess them and everything. So they eat tofu. Foxes eat tofu. There's two different ones. There's like, you know, like kind of imagine the Inari pocket stuff, but like fried. So that kind of like skim tofu.
This is why you shouldn't skip things because I didn't know about this.
I'm sorry. And they eat a great deal. Allegedly that not they, but the possessed fox. The possessing fox are hungry.
Oh.
So it's not that they're willing to eat it. So it's like, if you don't like tofu, but the you're going to eat tofu because the fox wants it. So.
Okay, so if sense. I start eating tofu, you guys...
You eat some tofu.
I'm picky with tofu. It's like, it has to be the tofu you make. Anywhere else, not really the same.
And then I thought this part was kind of funny because it says, once freed from the position, the victim will never again be able to eat tofu.
Okay, that probably happened to me then. Or any other foods
favored by the fox.
Okay, maybe that's what happened to me.
Oh, my bad. Inari is the deity of rice.
I was about to say. I always thought about that because I was like,
yeah. The Shinto deity. I should probably clarify that.
Whose toe?
Shinto. Fried sliced tofu called aburage. If you want to Google that.
Aburage.
A, B, U, and then rage. Which is accordingly found in the noodle-based dishes of kitsune udon. But yeah, I just wanted to add that last little part with the tofu.
Well, that was interesting. We had the black kadejo from Joe.
And the white one.
And the white one, and we heard some interesting facts about the kitsune.
Kitsune.
These notes will actually be available for everyone to see, so the whole complete notes of Yelly's also will be available for everyone to see on Patreon. They are all typed up, but you will be able to see them if you become a Patreon. I have that on the list. So, yeah, thank you guys. Today was just another great episode, and stay tuned for next week. We have another murder coming up after that. If you guys have any stories you'd like to share with us, I'm going to do a good shout out to Hexy for sending that to us. You're awesome. And stay tuned for that.
When are you going to read that one, by the way?
I'll figure it out. Okay. Probably after Ireland. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you guys have any stories or anything you'd like to share with us, give us, send it our way. You can either email it to us at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com, or you can slide it into our DMs either on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Again, we also have a Patreon. Patreon, you're able to hear our blooper reels. You're able to see things before everyone else. You can even see our PDF files of our notes, of our type notes, and so on and so forth. But yeah, don't be shy. Send us your stuff. And we hope to hear back from you guys. And until next time, stay spooky.
See you next time, Space Cowboys.
Happy haunting, people.
All right. Bye.
Bye.